industry, and the air we breathe. Fluoride, and our perception of its safety and effectiveness in preventing tooth decay, is tied up with political, economic, and national security issues. Corporations cannot afford to protect workers exposed to fluoride on a daily basis. Governments cannot afford to admit knowing what they knew from the start. It's all very complicated, but nothing new. From this point forward, most of what you hear will have been quoted directly from books, articles, and reviews written by persons other than myself, including members of the National Academy of Sciences, the entity that interprets science for the U.S. government regulatory agencies, UNICEF, the United Nations Children's Emergency Fund, EPA insiders, and numerous other reliable sources. You may have heard of hydrogen fluoride, HF. It's a common, particularly dangerous, but relatively unknown air pollutant produced by the most powerful industries, including steel mills, iron foundries, copper, zinc and aluminum smelters, plastics manufacturers, fertilizer works, agrochemical factories, petrochemical refineries, brickworks, glass factories, coal-burning power stations, and nuclear processing plants. The use of unleaded gasoline puts more fluoride into the air. The late Dr. Jeffrey Smith said it well. If health authorities were to set air pollution standards for hydrogen fluoride, which were harmless, then certain key industries in our technologically oriented society would almost grind to a halt. This dilemma led to the most bizarre conspiracy of modern times, in which captains of industry and national security agencies combined to ruthlessly suppress evidence of the dangers of hydrogen fluoride air pollution, and cynically used a healing profession, dentistry, to promote an apparently beneficial image for fluoride. The result is that we live in an increasingly fluoridated world. The fluoride in water and toothpaste is potentially harmful. The hydrogen fluoride in contaminated air, far more so. Each year, tens of thousands of tons of hydrogen fluoride create an environmental hazard more threatening than global warming or depletion of the ozone layer. And hydrogen fluoride, which can be 1,000 times more harmful than sulfur dioxide, is often a key but rarely mentioned component of acid rain. Few people living in the developed countries of the world can escape exposure to HF. Workers in more than 60 occupations are now breathing HF-contaminated air, and anyone living in the vicinity of the fluoride-polluting industries is also at risk. In 1933, Dr. Lloyd de Eads, senior toxicologist with the Department of Agriculture and lecturer in pharmacology at Stanford, published a 60-page review on chronic fluorine poisoning. He wrote, "Only recently, that is within the last 10 years, has the serious nature of fluorine toxicity been realized, particularly with regard to chronic intoxication. It is from the viewpoint of chronic intoxication that fluorine is of importance to the public health. A review of the literature shows that the public health aspect of fluorine is manifested in industrial hygiene, in agriculture, and in foods. The latter aspect of the problem is particularly important because of the recommendation and increasing utilization of fluorine compounds in agriculture. While there is no real scientific evidence for beneficial effects of any kind, we do know that fluoride is more acutely toxic than lead and almost as bad as arsenic." The late Dr. Frederick B. Exner wrote, "There has been fluorine poisoning as long as there have been plants, animals, and people. Unrecognized as such, of course, and mostly associated with volcanic phenomena or fluorine-bearing waters. Came the Industrial Revolution, and things were different. There came a wholesale pollution of air and countryside with fluorine fumes and fallout, and fluorine poisoning became an important industrial hazard. There were many sources, including glass, brick, enamel, and ceramic tile, but the worst offenders were the iron and copper smelters. The first recognized effects were on vegetation. To the majority of people bombarded with television commercials for fluoride dental products, fluoride means good dental health, and that's all. Very few people are aware of its use in pesticides, drugs, common cleaning agents, and other everyday household products. Even fewer realize that the deadly nerve gas sarin owes its toxicity to fluorine. More recently, Andreas Schuld, founder of Parents of Fluoride Poisoned Children, wrote, "Dental fluorosis is the visible sign that thyroid function was disturbed in the child during the time of enamel formation. This enamel condition will lead to increased cavities later. As a result of research into molecular biology, the art of cloning, there are hundreds upon hundreds of studies available documenting the actions of fluorides on G proteins, the on and off switches involved in cellular signal transmission. During the 1980s and 1990s, fluorides became known as the universal G protein activator. Although there have been numerous studies before showing that fluorides act like TSH, the thyroid-stimulating hormone, it can now be documented in deep detail, for it is known that G proteins in thyroid physiology are normally absolutely dependent on TSH, and are inactive without it. TSH is the master, sometimes also referred to as the first violinist in the orchestra. The TSH receptor is the only receptor known able to activate all G protein families, an activity directly imitated by fluoride."